Do you ever feel like business is a little bit too complicated? Sometimes the way the gurus speak or the people you learn from at school and university, they use the terms you don't get. They're talking down at you because they understand business and you don't yet. But that's why you're learning from them. Well, my guest today, Lisa Guglielmino, the business chick, or Lisa G, which is a much easier way of saying it, she's here to simplify business. She's a bit of a maverick, and she is here to help us understand the freedom process, which are her 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps to actually create a business that is fun, successful, and gives you the lifestyle that you wanted when you got into business in the first place. She's also taken us through the 4 stages of business and the frustrations you can expect at each level and how to start moving through them. So I really, really enjoyed this convo with Lisa today. We talked about rebranding, niching, marketing, and the simple steps to make sure you're having fun and creating a freedom business. Here she is, everyone. Lisa G, the business chick on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to another episode of Coaches to the Moon podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, very, very excited to be joined by an old friend of mine, partner in crime, Lisa Guglielmino. Most might know her as the business chick. She's an absolute master at making your business work. She knows the systems that you need to follow to create the freedom. And indeed, that's what we're going to talk about today. Her freedom process, her 3 P's, the way she ignores all of the marketing advice I would give her and still manages to crush it. Lisa, coming out of Adelaide, I believe, where I imagine it's relatively... Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Well, yeah, I thought you were in Melbourne, but the profile we had for you said Adelaide. Yeah, but it could be wrong, but there you go.
Maybe Lisa, I'm just an Adelaide kind today. Of girl.
Adelaide kind of girl, always half an hour late. I think you're in Melbourne as well.
I'm not 3 hours late.
That'd be good. Like my Perth clients. Can either my podcast producer or your virtual assistant, someone needs to be reprimanded for getting that information wrong. Someone's done it wrong, but you know, we'll get past it. Lisa G, how are you?
Awesome. I loved your introduction too.
Off the top of the cuff.
That's the main reason I do podcasts, because then I get to listen to people introduce me and say really awesome things about me.
What an ego boost, right?
It is, yeah.
Much easier than just trying to say it to yourself in the mirror.
And someone else is saying it's much more convincing, isn't it?
It is. Rather than just shivering through tears in the morning in the mirror, telling myself I'm a success.
Is that what you do, Alex?
Not anymore, because I go on podcasts and get other people to introduce me nicely. Life hacks. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Lise, you're a business coach. You've got a lot of experience across lots of different industries. Do you want to just walk us through quickly how you got into running your own coaching business? Because that's always a fun story.
Wow. It's always a daunting story for me, because everyone always has this. It seems like everyone always has this really great story that shows how they fell into what they're doing and how purposeful it was, the whole journey. And I guess when I tell my story, it kind of sounds purposeful, but not really. I think this is just what I was meant to do all the time. So my whole background, I started off in the fitness industry. So I was an aerobics instructor and a PT and everything way back in the days of fluoro lycra, and that just naturally brought me into sales and, people dealing with other businesses. So B2B sales and advertising and marketing sales. And from there, I just sort of grew into helping people. So I was looking for something more authentic and more fulfilling for me, that included talking to people every day, because I really like talking to people every day. That's what I enjoy doing. And I just found throughout my whole life, I found people want to unload on me. And often I would think, why are these people treating me like their best friends when I hardly know them? I don't even remember their name. So it's just a natural gift that I've been given. So when it comes to coaching, I've used everything I've learned in the sales and marketing work that I did, And then I'm using all my natural talents to really connect with people. I love it.
It's like, yeah, I used to find the same thing when I was a barista. People would just tell you so much stuff that I would never tell to a barista. And maybe it's just that intimacy of their, you know, quite early in the morning, you know, maybe first person they've spoken to that day. But interestingly enough, a little bit like your story, as I moved into coaching and marketing, I've just kind of had people say to me, I chose to work with you because I trust you. And that's really good. Like, that's not something you can necessarily build. You know, maybe like you can build trust with people, but a natural empathy is probably something that you and I maybe are blessed to have. And it shows that in health and fitness, I suppose you need that quite a lot as well. You're seeing people at a very vulnerable position where they're sweaty and they're knackered, and you've got to give them motivate them to give it a little more. Do you think that's a little bit
true,
like coaching?
True. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's all the same, reading people's moods and their energy levels and knowing when they've had enough and when they haven't, and how far can I push them, and should I talk to this person really tough and really, stick it to them, or should I back off a little bit, and what kind of language do I need to use to get this person motivated to do what they need to do?
Totally. That's interesting. And I know that, we'll get into your brand later on, but you mentioned the fluoro leg warmers and everything. You've really brought that into the business, Chick, your newer brand, which is awesome to see.
Yeah.
What I wanted to touch on was that you've got a signature process called the Freedom Process, which I know is a form of like an acronym where every letter stands for a thing.
Yes.
I believe because, I know you base a lot of your business off of walking people through the process. Could you please, Lisa G, just walk us through what is the Freedom Process and how does it help people?
Well, in every business that I've come across, the main reason that people went into business for themselves in the first place was for the freedom that promised them. So they weren't working for a boss and they could have control of their own finances and bring in more money so that they'd have the freedom to, go on a holiday without having to ask someone permission, right? But none of them could get the freedom because they're stuck in the business, whether it's a super flourishing business or it's just starting up and they're struggling to get things going. They just get themselves stuck in the business. So the freedom processes are all of those things that I've practiced over the last 8 years in business coaching that have been the most beneficial to the small business to get them towards having some freedom, all right? And the first one, which is super important to me, is F stands for fun. And we forget to have fun, don't we? And we have to keep reminding ourselves. So it's really you need to calendarize your fun or make an effort to have fun in your day. Otherwise, you won't have it. Just like you need to work on your marriage, then book in a date with your husband or your wife. You have to calendarize it and make sure it happens. So there's fun. Then the next step is reverse engineering. So you must have a goal and then reverse engineer how you're getting there. But the reverse engineering has to be written down so you can really track your way through that and have a pathway. And then once you've got that reverse engineered planned, the next one is the E for evolve. So you have to be prepared to evolve into something new or something bigger or better than what you already are. And that's, all around that core need that every human has to grow. You have to be willing to grow and be uncomfortable. And, if you don't have staff, right, I'm going to take a leap and grow into having staff and manage them or whatever that may be, because it's constantly changing. As your business grows, you have to grow with it. Otherwise, it won't work, right? You've seen that, Alex.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I used to be massively into personal development and all the courses and everything. And now I just say that my personal development comes from running a business and being a dad, because those two things are, you know, much bigger courses than anything I've done in the past, where you're kind of doing these superficial chest beating things. This is, I think the evolution is, if you take business seriously as something that you want to do for a long time and just accept that there's going to be shit you don't want to do, you have to do it. Whether that's firing people or having harsh words with a client or giving people refunds or whatever it is, not just the hustle, but the actual like emotion of it, I think that really helps you to evolve. And
that's
your capacity
huge.
To stress gets so much bigger, right?
Yeah. So the things that you don't like doing are the things that you really got to focus on and grow into and not take personally. There's a growth right there, just to not take things so personally in your business, isn't it?
Well, I had transparently a conversation with a client the other day who a lot of stuff happened in his life and he came to us asking for a refund. And I was like, dude, I can't give you a refund. Nothing personal. I love you to bits, but that's just not a policy that we've got right now. And he's also like, it's not personal that I'm asking for one. It's just that, you know, it's just business. And we've reached a business decision at the end of the day that had nothing to do with our sort of friendship that we've had through being clients.
Correct.
It's pretty, it could be very easy as a coach, right? When as it was a business owner, but especially as a coach where you are the brand, take things personally.
Because
often the product is your time and your energy.
And that's when we talk about my branding later, that evolution really came into play there too. We'll talk about that later on, but moving off, so the freedom process, let's move on to D. No, we've got another E in there for freedom,
okay.
F-R-E-E. The next one is E for engage. Okay. So many people get stuck in their business, work, working, that they forget to actually engage with everyone else around them. Engage effectively with your staff, understand them, know how to communicate, know how to lead them, yeah? Engaging with your clients, you know this one, Alex. You know, people think that they're sending out the right message to their customers, but it's actually just what they think their customers want to hear. It's not actually what their customers want to hear, and that's why the customers aren't buying. So really being clear on how you're going to engage and communicate, and engage with just the community around you, including your family, so everyone's on the same page. So engagement is massive key to success.
Especially in a remote world, right? When you're working remotely.
In your office, just online all the time. Engagement's really important for you, you know, personally. Communication.
That's why I love the podcast network, everyone talking, because it's a bunch, honestly, these days, it's a bunch of people running their businesses from their bedrooms and their kitchens, managing to have a conversation with a human, you know, for a few hours without just needing to make it about work.
That's
really, really nice.
Right. Now, as you grow your business, or even sometimes when it's not growing, the next letter, the D for delegate, becomes really evidently in need, right? So if you've got staff, and you're not delegating, you're overworked and overloaded and stressed and can't go away on a holiday and can't do all the things you want to do. So you need to learn to delegate more effectively. And if you're a smaller business who you might only have one staff, you actually need to outsource to delegate. It may not be that you need staff. It may, you know, let's delegate to Alex and get him to do all of our marketing. Let's get a VA just for that particular section of the business. And there are so many people out there that can do anything for you. Let's get a cleaner to come in and clean the house so that I don't have to waste 3 hours a week, because that 3 hours is way more valuable to me if I spend it talking to customers.
Totally. I'm all about the delegation thing. You can do anything now, can't you? And it really, I mean, I used to think this is just a really arrogant way of spending money, having someone clean the house or whatever, but it's not just about money. It's about time with the family. time to do whatever you want. It's maybe delegating in your business helps you to actually not just make more money in business. It helps you to go and focus on the fun aspect of your freedom process. Go and do that date night or go for a, you know, go to the park. It's, really powerful.
Totally. So after you know how to delegate superbly, you also then O stands for objectives. So you have to have really clear objectives of what you want to create or become or, you know, where you want to be in 12 months' time so that you have some clear KPIs to shoot for. And those objectives should revolve around your mission statement, which is the M at the end of freedom. So we have to kind of work backwards because really your M and your mission statement and your objectives should be part of your goal setting right back at the beginning of each 12 months.
Yeah, wow. Fun, reverse engineering, evolve, engage, delegate, objectives, and mission statement. I love that because a lot of these signature methods and processes are kind of like a step-by-step thing. Like, here's what you do first and then this. But yours feels like more of an all-encompassing theory of how to, you know, all the things you need to tick off to really find freedom in your business.
Exactly, because you might already have four of those things really smoothly running.
Yeah.
It gives you a good checklist. Okay, what do I need? You know, the best thing to do is go through and give yourself a score out of 10 for each of those things. And then you can see what you need to work on first.
I think I've got currently F-E-E. I've got feed right now, but not enough ROM. I enjoy the work. Life. Yeah, we're involving. I like to engage, love to delegate. When it comes to objectives, reverse engineering, mission statement, we've just been through such a period of growth in the last 3 months that it's, you know, a lot of that, I'm still working it out because when the sales team came on, we hired more people. It's just gone like right up into the sky. And so numbers that I used to, you know, focus on, we've gone above and beyond. And I'm like, oh God, what do we do
now?
You know, so yeah. And that comes with evolve, right? Always evolving.
Exactly. And that's where you've got to look back and reverse engineer and be willing to change your objectives and your mission statement. You know, you've got to look at it at least every 12 months to make sure not only are you heading in the right direction, but is it the right direction still?
Yeah. Well, when we caught up yesterday to just kind of touch base about what we wanted to speak about today, you mentioned like we've got to touch on the stages of business and how that, you know, business owners always find themselves with new and familiar frustrations at every stage of their business. We say every level there's a new devil because every time you reach somewhere else, there's another problem. More money, more problems, as I believe one of those rappers said.
Yeah.
So when you say the stages of business, do you have a clear kind of like label for each of those stages?
One, two, three, and four.
Okay. What's stage one?
Yeah, so stage one is your startup.
Okay.
You know, you're on your own. Most of your time when you're in this first stage is about really getting clear on how you're going to engage with your customer. So there's the engagement part, the marketing, the messaging, you know, what is my mission statement? What is my real value? There's so much marketing know-how involved in that first stage. That I don't know about everyone else, but I'm so frustrated with the fact I just want to coach. I just want to be helping people. And all I do every day is just emails and marketing and more emails and more marketing and blogs. And like, I know so much about marketing now. So you really have to become a professional and it gets frustrating. But you have to know that that's the stage you're in. Yep. And you cannot possibly progress to stage two unless you've learned all the lessons you need to learn in stage one.
Got it.
Once you've learned those lessons, then the universe will take you to stage two.
Brilliant. So stage one is startup and marketing. What's stage two?
Yeah. So stage two now is you're starting to actually get a foothold in the market and your messaging is starting to work. and you're actually making an income and you're probably bringing on a few staff. So now the complexity changes in that the marketing isn't so much of a challenge anymore, but you're bringing in staff and you're learning how to manage staff.
Mm.
So now it's the challenge for you is your leadership role, learning how to be a leader and how to manage the business as a leader instead of a one-man band.
Yes.
Because you know what happens? You know the first thing that people do when they go from stage one to stage two. What do you think you, what, how did you get on with your first couple of staff members, Alex, when you first brought someone in?
Oh man, in this business, it was really tough because I think the problem with me was that I wasn't giving them enough, maybe enough stuff to do. I was underestimating their capability. Then therefore, because it's remote, they were getting bored and they left.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really different. It was much, much easier in my old cafe where it was like, okay, I need someone to wait tables, wash dishes, make sandwiches, that sort of thing. Clear tasks. In a remote business sense, really, really tough. And my first couple of VAs are not with me anymore, not because I fired them, because they left.
Yeah. Yeah. So you either don't give them enough work because you don't know how much, you have no measurement. You don't know when their bucket is full. And that's not just remote either. You know, I've seen people sitting at a desk in the same office as the leader, but the leader doesn't know if they're working to 100% or 40%. They have no idea. They look busy, but are they busy? I don't know. So it's not just remote. So you're either not giving them enough work or you're micromanaging them because you're worried that they're not doing enough.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. Okay, so in that sense, the question that we often ask on this show, and I love people's perspective on it, is if we know that we need some help in the business, we know we need a new hire into the business, but that obviously costs money. What's your perspective on either getting yourself busy enough and making the money to afford that staff member, or getting that staff member so then you can go out and make the money?
Yeah, good question. What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
That comes up. That is a real fear for a lot of people jumping from stage one to stage two. There's a jump. So you have to be aware it's a leap of faith, right? So, okay, what do I do? Do I build up the business enough that I've got that cash flow to pay for a staff member? But to do that, I have to be willing to put in those extra hours to make it work, because I've got to be able to handle all those extra hours before I bring a staff member in to delegate to them, right?
Yeah.
So what am I going to commit to? Am I going to commit to doing the extra hours and the extra yards to have more cash flow? Or am I going to commit to just throwing that money in and investing in a new staff member to create the cash flow?
Yeah.
It's a personal decision, but it's also you've got to really talk to your own fears and have a deep conversation with yourself about, well, what's stopping me from investing in the staff member?
Yeah.
Or what's stopping me from putting in these extra hours? Some people sit in that stage one for years and years and years just because they're too scared to make the leap.
Totally. Hey guys, Alex here. We'll be back to the show in just a moment. If you have 10 seconds, please go and give us a like, follow or subscribe on whatever platform or channel you're watching or listening to this episode if you want more amazing content and want to support us and our guests. Thank you so much. Let's get back to the episode. Totally. I think I'm starting to get my own opinion on it, because what you said, it's personal opinion, which is probably the best answer out there. Because business is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Mm-hmm. I think, personally, you risk a lot less money by hiring someone first than you do from taking on too much business and therefore tarnishing your reputation by not being able to handle it.
Yeah, that's true. And it depends on the business too.
Yeah.
Because you may be in, I don't know, construction or building where if you hire one tradie, it's a difference of a huge amount of cash flow increase. Yeah.
Totally.
Whereas if, you know, you're in an office on your own, hiring a staff member may only be a small amount of cash flow increase. So it really depends on the type of business you're in.
Yep. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. 100%. Well, yeah, I see my mates in construction and they're definitely putting in those hours themselves before to get the cash flow in, and they're knackered. They're always on the phone. Whenever you go to a bucks party with these guys and they're up at 6 a.m. on their laptop the night after a bender.
Yeah.
They've always got stuff to do. We need those builders, but I do not envy their schedule.
Yeah, that's right. They find it difficult to hand over to, like, get an admin person in to handle all their admin. Often their wives are doing it all and their wives just don't want to. But they're doing it anyway. So, yeah, it's time to delegate.
Well, we had a guest on 2 weeks ago, Mr. Andres Garzon, who is one of Australia's top construction business coaches, longtime friend and client of mine. And he's a genius with helping those construction businesses with those particular problems. So anyone listening, go back to that one, but stay here first because Lisa's about to tell us about stage three of a business.
Well, stage three and stage four is now you're really taking a foothold in your industry and people are starting to pay attention, like your competitors are starting to see you and notice you as real competition. And so now you have a foothold in the industry and the marketplace. You've got your staff all sorted out. You've become a really good leader, but now you've got to step up again to increase the sales again to the next level. So that's about tweaking the marketing or maybe, you know, bringing in another avenue of cash flow or branching out into different areas of the industry. So it's about getting really creative.
Yeah, that is true because you definitely reach a ceiling where what you're doing to get you to X amount isn't going to get you to the next one because it just can't, because it's the like my done for you marketing system or even a coach, you know, a one-to-one coaching that can only take you so far, right?
That's so right. There's only so many hours in the week.
Yeah. I mean, so in terms of that, when in a service-based business, when it's just you delivering a service to people, have you seen any good creative responses to that ceiling that people impose on themselves where they can get above it and start to go to the next level of sales without just doing more one-on-one?
So for example, all of, you know, you see it a lot now is all of the online sales and packaging something up so you can sell it, you know, sell a course online. So you can sell the course and it may include a little bit of one-on-one coaching, but they use the online resources more than they use you. So it's freeing up your time.
Yeah, totally.
It's not as dependent on you because you've already created all of the course. That's just one example. I'd like to call it, you know, like McDonald's says, would you like fries with that? It's about what are your fries? What can you upsell people into? And what are your fries and Coke in your meal package?
We don't have any. We just got burgers.
There you go. Everyone wants fries and Cokes with their burgers. So how do we, what are those other added things that we can put into our sales revenue that don't take up more time for us? They're the cream on top.
Yeah. My approach to that one is always giving away the cream for free to make the offer irresistible. And so that's probably where it's kind of that end of a seminar approach where, you know, people are like doing their pitch and everyone in the audience is like, okay, how much is this going to be? And they tell you their program, then they start adding more and more stuff on it. And it's like, so this program is, it's actually worth $119,000, but today you can get it for $8,000. You know, yeah. Go to the back of the room. That's kind of my approach to fries and Coke. It's like we just make the burger. Yeah, to make the burger seem way more valuable, we give them the fries and Coke for free. Yeah. But it doesn't obviously leave. But maybe that's just the stage I'm at. And so
there's something else, though. There is something else that you can give them that's a different branch altogether.
Well, yes, we're coming into offering sales coaching as well.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing that we've kind of, I didn't really notice that we were doing that until you just mentioned it. We just kind of fell into that a little bit. So yeah, how about you? What's your pricing?
Sales coaching, like one-on-one's good, but sales coaching's really good if it's in a recorded, you know, course sort of layout, which frees up your time. So it's not going to take, you just have to make it at the beginning and then you can offer it and you don't need to do anything. You just press a button and send it to them.
Totally. Yeah, 100%. It's just value stacking, absolute massive value stacking. How about you? Have you got any fries and Coke, any additional upsells that you've been using to provide more value?
When it comes to value, yes. But when it comes to, when I'm talking about, you know, other revenue creating branches, you know, all those things like online courses and presentations, workshops, live workshops or online webinars, things like that. I do those. But I have started my online mastermind group, which I think you run one too, don't you? Do you run a mastermind group?
Not so much. I've got a free Facebook group. I've got a done with you program. I do coach as part of a couple of other people's programs as well. Mm. So not so much. We've dabbled, but we've never gone all in on a coaching program. I think it's the university of me messages that it's not for me.
Yeah. But my online program is of benefit for those people that really can't afford one-on-one coaching, but they do want the accountability and they do want to learn. It's actually filled a gap for me. So I have about 8 people in a group that come in once a week. And we do, once a month, we do a growth session where they learn something and they put their actions into place. And that's a lower cost for them, but great for me because now I'm coaching 8 or 10 or 15 people instead of one in the same hour. So financially it's good, but it's also good because I'm reaching more people.
Totally. Mm. In terms of that, I'd love to talk to you about the group coaching thing because I would say that if you can do it well, it can actually be more valuable than one-on-one. And the reason I say that is because sometimes if you're doing an hour a week with a one-on-one client, you can get to 30 minutes in and have nothing else to say to them and be like, okay, now what? But when you're in a group, you can bounce off other people's problems. And we used to be in a mastermind together with an amazing guy, Travis, and he was really good at the what do you call it? Hot seating someone.
Yep.
Where he would say, okay, let's sit down with Lisa and ask Lisa about her experience this week and then use your problems and challenges to coach everyone. Do you have any sort of tips on how to engage a group coaching session to make sure it's valuable for everyone?
Yeah, it is tricky and I always second guess myself. We always have doubts about our abilities and our skills and, oh, did that work? And often I'll get off that session and think, how did that go today? And I think about were they all engaged? Did they all get something out of it? And even when I doubt that they did, it always turns out that they loved it. So You never know when someone else's message or story or challenge is going to be really hit the nail on the head for someone else in the program. Even if they're not at that same stage of business as the person that we're hot seating with, they still take on the messages and the stories and you can see them writing it down because they know one day they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hugely helpful.
So all you can do, or all I can do, is share my skills and my coaching tools, and what they do with it is up to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's right. And the just what probably makes you a great coach is the awareness that, you know, after every call you're thinking, oh shit, did that go well? Because you're actually that burden of caring, right? It's
And sometimes I'll notice when I do that personal review after the session, in my mind I'm thinking about all the people and their pictures in the windows. I think, that person, not sure about. So I'll give them a call.
Yeah, nice.
How'd you go? What did you get out of it? Excellent.
Doesn't cost much, right? Just to give someone a ring.
Just pick up the phone.
Yeah. I think a lot of us forget to do that outside of our pre-agreed upon meeting times.
And then, oh my God, they think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people really do appreciate that one. Great tip to remind us of, Lisa G. Mm. And how about your rebrand? Because we touched on rebranding before. You went through a rebrand, what, about 18 months ago, probably?
It must have been about that.
Transitioning
my old
from...
My brand was really crap.
Your old brand was crap. I don't think it was crap, but it wasn't a word, Lisa. Innovient Coaching was your original brand, and now you are The Business Chick. I love your brand. It's fluorescent. It's bright. It's engaging. It's very, very Lisa. Talk to us about the reasons behind your original brand and what you were going for, and the reasons for rebranding, why and how you did it.
So I, for the first 4 or 5 years of being a business coach, struggled in that stage 1 of trying to find the message and the vision and you know, the brand that's going to bring people to me. Could not figure it out. And that's because, and we know this now, but I didn't know it in the first 5 years. That's because I was trying to be a business coach instead of just being me. So I was trying to be, okay, business. People expect you to be wearing navy blue and be serious. If I'm too out there and I just be me, no one's going to want to hire me. No one's going to believe me, and I won't have the credibility as a business coach. I've got to be like all the other business coaches. Well, I tried that for 5 years and it didn't work. So we, in our own coaching sessions with Travis, really started to pull that apart. Then, well, why am I trying to be someone else? Just be yourself, because that's what's going to attract your ideal client. And a lot of people, when I was changing to The Business Chick, a few people said, oh, Chick, you sure you want to go there? Because some businesses and some industries and some of the older people in industries are not going to see you as credible with the word chick. And I'd reached a point where I said, you know what? I don't care, because they're not the kind of people that I want to work with. I want to work with the people who want to work with The Business Chick. They're the kind of people I want to work with. And that's when I knew I'd figured out my brand.
Yeah. When you found that there were people you didn't want to work with and you didn't care anymore. That's,
you know,
cool, right?
Care if they thought I would. You know, wasn't dressed in a navy blue suit and looking like the other business coaches. I'm not a business coach. I'm a business chick.
Well, they're a dime a dozen, the, you know, professionally dressed business coaches.
Yeah.
And not that they're not valuable, but, you know, throw a stone and you'll hit one. And there's always going to be someone for a boardroom executive coaching. They're awesome. They're really, really clever people. But it's not you. So why should you be them? How has it affected your business now that you have rebranded into something that is very authentic to your personality?
I'm getting a hell of a lot more attention. People are noticing. Not only have they noticed the rebrand, but they're noticing the change in me too. So, you know, this was 1.5 years ago, and I had already grown into I guess, a new confidence. After about 4 years, I had a lot more confidence in what I was doing. So I was moving into that stage two, but my brand still wasn't right. But now that I'm in the brand, my confidence is great. My voice actually dropped an octave too. And people say, I've noticed your confidence has changed the way you speak now. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? Because are you saying that when you're sort of questioning yourself, you have that higher intonation in your voice? No way.
Yeah.
That's something. If you played a video, a podcast, what did you do any podcasts back then?
No, I did a little bit of videos, but let's not look at that.
It's rough, isn't it? But I just worry about the haircuts I've had in the past. Very top heavy. But that's interesting, the voice thing. Well, it's a lovely timbre now, your voice, Lisa.
Thank you. Timbre.
Timbre.
Ooh, timbre,
I think it's timbre. I think it depends where you're coming from.
Now, here's another conversation about words. You know, I know another business coach who reads a lot of books, a lot. He is, you know, he has a few degrees and he's very learned. And we work together often because we balance each other out. And I used to feel like I couldn't, I guess, step up to the same level as these kinds of coaches. They have a different education level to me. They know words that I don't even know the meaning of.
Yeah.
And then I got to a stage where I realized, yeah, but when we work together, we're really good.
Because
often people don't really understand what this person's talking about, but they know what I'm talking about. Because I can simplify things and make things very clear and connect with them and get their trust. So my skills are very different to his, and I just have to be confident in my skills and not try and be someone else.
Totally. And simplification for people is huge. Very coachy thing to do is to use all the coachy words and talk about the thing you're an expert in. And it doesn't just happen in business, Lisa G. It happens in marketing. I see it a tremendous amount in sort of more spiritual coaches where they talk about a lot of concepts that most people aren't familiar with unless they've been in that world for a few years.
Yeah.
You know, heart, you know, aligning with your heart center and chakras and, you know, all that sort of thing. And the best coaches, like my guest who I had on Tuesday, Miranda Marriott, she's a monstrously successful and just fun lady to follow. She works in spirituality, but makes it so easy to understand. I asked her a big question on Tuesday, and she made it clear for me, someone who's not in that world at all, what she was talking about. So I think you're doing the right thing. But the whole thing seems simpler. The business chick. What do you do? The business chick. You know,
key to my rebrand is just simplify everything. My name, Lisa Guglielmino. And if we said it properly with the Italian influence, it'd be Lisa Guglielmino.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so complicated. So now it's just Lisa G.
Yeah.
And Innovient Coaching is now just the business chick. So let's just simplify everything and really cut to the chase.
Totally. Makes a lot more sense. And in a marketing sense as well. And that's the last thing I wanted to speak to you about today was marketing, because something that I'm always having to talk to my clients about is, okay, you can help a lot of people, but to get your message across in an ad in marketing, we've got to niche you down a little bit. We've got to work with one demographic, one industry, so that you can focus on their particular pains and problems. And that'll help you to create marketing offers and messages that attract them. However, Lisa G, you work across a whole bunch of different industries and it's working out well for you. Can you tell us why you enjoy to work in a variety of different industries and how it's actually been a positive for your business?
Oh, yeah. So I at times do niche down and target one industry. Like for a while, I was targeting the accounting industry. because they're kind of the opposite personality type to me. So they need me to help them, you know, shift and change with their clients. So that worked. But in general, I will do any industry, and that's mainly for my sanity more than anything. I just love the challenge of something different every day. So if I was just working with accountants, I'd get bored really fast. And I'd think, yeah, I don't like this job anymore. I don't like what I'm doing. If I have all different industries, really every person is the same. Every person has fears and limiting beliefs. Every person, whatever industry you're in, needs to work through my freedom process. You need fun in your life. You need to learn how to delegate. You need to be able to engage effectively. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. So what I do works in any industry. The beauty of it is that I get to learn about the industry as we go, and they throw curly questions at me and go, let me think about that for a minute. It doesn't just come. I get to think and use my brain and challenge myself. That's why I like to do every industry. It's for me.
Totally. How cool is that? Makes a lot of sense. And then you'll have the answers in a lot of areas where most people wouldn't. Because like what I was talking about with Andres the other week was it's very powerful to have an understanding of the other industries that your client needs to work with. Yeah. So like as a marketer, I need to understand sales a little bit. As a accounting coach, you need to be able to help them with their marketing. You know, if you're a restaurant, you know, consultant, you need to understand farmers a little bit.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I often pull out, like if I come to a business that really needs some intricate processes around law and compliance, I'll often pull out the things that I've created for a mortgage broker or a lawyer and say, well, this is how we set up the process and this is the system we use for them because they're very compliant with the law. So why don't we try this? So bringing in ideas from other industries has really served me well.
And also just writing stuff down and making those little pieces of intellectual property that can become standard operating procedures you can share with people. That's something that changed my life was like, instead of just doing something one-off for somebody and then giving, here's a template, creating one for it, I can use for everyone.
I've got an awesome template.
Yeah.
It's worth gold for mortgage brokers, the process of taking a deal from beginning to end. And every time I show it to a mortgage broker, they get so excited. Oh my God. Can't believe you've got this already figured out. So, yep, I got you covered.
Well, there you go. Imagine if you had that across 11 different industries. Then that's rock and roll, Lisa. You're breaking all the rules and it seems to be working. And we love a good rebel. Maverick. It's always fun. It's always fun.
I like being called a rebel. That's nice.
Well, you know you are at heart. We all are. That's why we're on a podcast at midday on a Thursday because we didn't do what we were told.
That's true. Yeah, like do things different.
Can't help it. It's a blessing and a curse, mostly a curse, but sometimes it works out, right?
Blessing and a curse all rolled into one.
One of my primary mentor, Scott, he says, if you pick up one end of the stick, you got to pick up the other as well.
I like
and
that one.
He always, whenever I've got a decision to make, I'm like, what do you reckon, Scott? He's like, well, you're picking up this end of the stick. What's on the other end? And he makes me think of what are the negatives, you know, of doing this positive thing. And it's kind of like that stages thing you said, frustration every stage.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And being aware of the frustration and just own it and understand this is the other end of the stick. This is the part that comes with being at this stage. So. Accept it. Be aware of it.
Yeah. Stress happens. Frustrations happen. But as my guest, I'm doing a lot of quoting today. My guest, Hugh Hall, a few weeks back said, when he quit his job, he was like, I'm already stressed working for this guy. I might as well be stressed working for myself.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, Lisa. I'm really excited to see what you're doing with your brand. It's been wonderful having you on the show today. We're going to be putting all of your links and everything in the show notes of this show. But is there anything that you've got kicking around that you'd like to tell anyone about?
I think my online mastermind group is like, it's really cool. I'm having so much fun in there at the moment. So if anyone listening wants to jump in and try it out, I don't usually do this, but if anyone wants to try it out and just check it out and see how it works, whether it's for themselves so that they can go away and, you know, do something in their area the same, or they might love it and think, okay, I can get heaps of value. I want to jump in it too. Come along for free jump into one of our sessions.
There we go.
I'll give you the link for it so everyone can jump in.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who resonate with the way you talk, Lisa. It's definitely a very approachable way to do business. And everything I've written down on I'm going to assume, parking fine envelope has been very, 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 I haven't opened it yet. But yeah, step by step, easy stuff to understand. That's what we like, and that's what we love having Lisa Goodley-Elmino, the business chick, on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Alex. It's been a blast.
It has. Let's do it again. Anyone listening or watching on the recording or indeed live, we love you for that. I'll be back in a few days' time with another guest on Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thanks so much for listening. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, thank you so much for making it to the end of this episode. It means so much to us that you're listening to this content. If you enjoyed the episode, then please go to the show notes, the links in the description, to follow our guests on their socials, check out our pages for clips from this podcast and many more with the world's best coaches. And you can even subscribe to our mailing list where you'll get free marketing resources into your inbox every single week, know where the newest podcasts are out, and we'll help you with any free or special offers we've got. Thank you so much for doing that, guys. Love you to bits. See you next week. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.